Welcome to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast, where we're talking faith, family, sports, and the great outdoors. And welcome back to the Blue Creek Outdoors Podcast. I am Joe Bartlett.
And I am Austin Seidler.
And we are on a little bit of a time crunch today, which is not the end of the world, but I was thinking something the other day. I wanted to run an idea past you about our scheduling.
Okay.
Just so I include you on this thought, and so that everybody also knows what I'm thinking. I liked how we took a little bit of a break around like Christmas and New Year's. I thought that was nice. I also, my mentality as far as like Blue Creek Outdoors goes, because someday we have a whole bunch of people working for us and we're, you know, we make a ton of money and people watch our videos by the go billions, you know. I want to take July completely off, like for all employees, everything. Like that's your go spend time with your family and stuff. So here's my thought process. The podcast runs, you know, January through June. July, it's off. No podcasts. I'll pre-record Bible studies to come out each one of those weeks, but that'll be it. And then when we come back like early to mid August for college football season, hold on. I need to back up a little bit. January through June, does it work better for you to just record on Mondays? The episode comes out on Tuesdays, and then we take July off, come back in August, and then record on Sunday nights throughout the fall to hit people with that college football on Monday mornings.
I like that schedule a lot, especially with my work schedule coming up. It's no longer tied dependent, so like these late nights are gonna be less and less, so Mondays would work a lot, on top of July being like one of my busier months and us hitting Africa and everything. So I like that idea a lot.
Sweet. And I just like to water ski in July's as well, so I do ask Tucker Meyer. I've been I'm not good at it by any means, but I do get up on the skis, you know. So I have not yet mastered getting up out of the water on a single ski though.
Do you drop like mid ride or whatever?
I don't even get up on one ski. What I have to do is I have to get up on two and then kick one off, which I'm not a pro at yet, but I'm getting better at it.
Okay. I like it.
It feels like it would probably just be better to be able to get up on one.
Yeah, that way you're eliminating a step in the whole process.
But getting up on one ski is astronomically hard.
Dude, I don't know. I haven't tried to water ski before, but I know wakeboarding, after my first couple of tries, I was starting to get up. And then after my first couple of times going, I was able to like get outside the wake and whatnot. But water skiing, I haven't tried it. My old man was really good at water skiing for a while.
No kidding.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, it was kind of blew my mind.
This is what I learned to wakeboard first. That was like the first thing I ever did. And it took me about 19 concussions, but I got good at getting up out of the water, right? And once I got that, and then I had never water skied before. I just did that for like a couple of years. And then one day Tucker Meyer was like, you got to try skiing. And I was like, I don't know, man. He was like, if you can get up on a wakeboard consistently, you can get up on skis easy. And he was right.
No way.
The first time I ever tried skiing, I got up on skis, no problem. They are way easier to get up on. If you are, I would say this, if you like got competent at getting up on a wakeboard first, then skis will come way easier to you. However, kicking a single ski off, it took me a very long time to even get remotely good at that. That also costed me several concussions and landing on my face at how fast we were going. Because
I keep thinking about like snow skiing, like downhill skiing versus snowboarding, because I'm much better of a downhill skier than I am a snowboarder. I don't know if it's because I started skiing and then tried to snowboard, and if I should have snowboarded before I skied, but everybody says once you start skiing, it's better to snowboard. But last time I tried to go snowboarding, man, that was tough. That was really tough. I'm glad I wore a helmet for that one.
I've never once tried to ski or snowboard.
Oh, we gotta go sometime. There's a couple of really good hills where you're at.
I'd rather golf. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm gonna spend time and money on a new hobby, I'd rather golf.
I'm up against that exact same like question with my financials. Do I want to spend money on a new set of skis or a new set of golf clubs?
Right. Right. Because
I mean, going for a mid-range, you know, set of both. I mean, it's basically the same cost.
I went golfing 2 times in high school and then once last summer. Like, that was the first time in my adult life. And my brain has to go one of two ways with it. I'm either going to dive in and do my best to get good at it. But I can tell you right now, if I did that, I will be insufferable to golf with. but if I go into it with the mindset of like, I'm going to be serviceable, like I'm going to like be able to not look like a moron and I'm going to have a good time, then I'll mm-hmm. be better. That's kind of the way I need to go with it. I can't focus on being good at it.
Dude, how about July? We take our time off and we get really good at fly fishing and golfing. I'm so dead set on like becoming an above average fly fisherman.
Okay. We're gonna put a pin in that really quick, because that's gonna come in our Blue Creek section. Because yes, beautiful. Is the answer to that question. We're gonna talk about that in a second. But like I said, we're gonna be a little bit late this evening, and I think moving forward we're gonna be a little quick this evening is what I should say. And then moving forward, I think we're just gonna do this on Monday nights, and it's gonna come out on Tuesday evenings. Until the last week of June, and then in July, I hope that everybody stops listening to us and spends time with their family and celebrates America and goes and does cool things. And then we'll be back for college football season. I like that plan already. It excites me a lot. But yeah, that being said, today we're going to talk about Carroll College football, Cal Poly football, and Utah State football. So let's talk Carroll College. They finished that last year. They were win at number 16 Montana Tech, which was their non-conference matchup, and they won at home against St. Thomas out of Florida, who was number 14 at the time, to go 2-0. They went 3-0 by winning at Rocky Mountain College, 4-0 by winning at home against Arizona Christian, 5-0 with a win at MSU Northern, 6-0 with a win at Eastern Oregon, 6-1 losing to College of Idaho at home, 7-1 winning on the road at Southern Oregon, 7-2 with a loss at home to Montana Western, who was ranked number 13 at the time, and then 7-3 with a loss to number 22 ranked Montana Tech at the time. And that win or that loss costed them a trip to the playoffs. I honestly feel like Carroll College in some aspects is one of the most interesting Frontier teams to talk about. And on the other aspect, it's one of the most uninteresting teams to talk about, because there are, at any given moment, Carroll College could be, if you told me right now Carroll wins the conference next year, I wouldn't be flabbergasted.
Yeah, same. I mean, as a coach, I feel like you can't be butthurt at winning all your games on the road. I mean, going 5-0 on the road is always tough, regardless of where you play. But then on the opposite end of things, going 2-3 at home, that's even worse. Like, that's not good. You're dropping 3 games at home.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to win those home games, which typically they do, you know? I mean, it's not
at home. I mean, going to Helena is still a tough place to be, because, I mean, they pack the stands each and every game.
One of the loudest football games I was ever a part of was at Carroll College.
Which is kind of crazy, because like they only have, other than like the away bleachers, like their home stands are large.
And well, it's all one, and it's in a bowl, so it's like the sound reverberates off the opposite side and stuff. It's a cool stadium. It really is. As much as I hate to admit that, it's a pretty cool spot. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I think they're in the in the top 25 poll to start the season, whenever that comes out. And I think that, you know, I think they could be in the mix to win the conference next year. I don't think you can count Carroll out at any point right now.
I mean, I know I don't. Like you said earlier, like at any point they can do it. Oh.
It's a pretty funky ringtone you got there.
Yeah. Let me start over here. I mean, at any point, you can't count them out of being less than the top three or the top five.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are in tune with, you know, being in the top tier of teams in the frontier. So it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I said, they're in suits. If you look at the grand picture of Carroll over the last 20 years, they're a pretty interesting team. If you look at them from season to season, I think they're, I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about. Carroll does Carroll, and they play good football, and that's how it goes. So, I mean, I feel like I don't really even have much to say about them because they could win the conference. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? I'm interested to see who they schedule for their out of conference. Cause side note there that MSU Northern schedule has come out for the fall of 2024. And if they are representing the rest of the conference, they are playing one game completely outside the Frontier Conference, and then they are playing one Frontier Conference team twice, with the first meeting being a non-conference game. So I'll just say this right now, that Northern is going to Mayville State this year, and then playing Rocky Mountain College the following week, and Rocky is the team that they will play twice, with the first meeting being a non-conference game. So Rocky, you know, obviously we hope Northern improves quite a bit this next coming year, but at the same time, you know, if you have to, in the Frontier Conference, you have to draw straws at which team you play twice. Rocky drew the lucky straw there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it definitely bodes in Rocky's favor, and I know we'll talk about them, you know, here in the coming weeks. But for Northern, I mean, they're not going to fare as well as Carroll. I'll tell you that.
No, but I think, you know, I think they'll go on the road and beat Mayville State on the road, which makes the Frontier Conference looks good. So hopefully that works it for them. But Carroll College hosted St. Thomas University out of Florida, who was a top 25 team. It'll be interesting to see. Maybe they make a return. Maybe they make a trip down to Florida to play. Who knows? I don't know what they'll do, but it'll be cool to see. I'm excited for the rest of the Frontier schedules to come out. If Northern's is set, I'm guessing everybody else is fairly set. Who knows? I guess I could be wrong. So interesting to see those come out. But with that being said, we'll move to the Big Sky. We'll talk about Cal Poly. They are in 2023. They finished the season 3-8. They win against San Diego. They lose at San Jose State. They win at home against Lincoln, the Division II independent. They lose to Portland State, lose to UC Davis, lose to Idaho, lose to Montana State, beat Northern Colorado, and then lost Eastern Washington, lost to Sacramento State, and lost to Weber State. I can't say that their 24 schedule gets a whole lot better, but they only have one game out on that schedule at the moment. Let's see here. Oh, nope, they only have one non-conference game scheduled. So their non-conference game that they have scheduled is at Stanford, which probably will not be a win for Cal Poly, but they are, at conference-wise, they are at Northern Colorado, at home against Idaho State, at UC Davis, at Idaho, at home against Montana, home against Northern Arizona and Sacramento State, and at Weber State. So be interesting to see what other non-conference games they schedule in there, but the Big Sky is never an easy road, and I think that Cal Poly will continue to struggle.
Yeah, if Cal Poly doubles their win total this next year in conference, I think it would be a good gain for them. I truly do. But other than that, man, like it's tough to have a good season when you give up 22 sacks. I know they're pretty psyched about their quarterback this last year. He transferred in from Washington to be with his old coach. But I mean, the kid himself had four games with less than 53% completion rating, and only two better than 71%. So if he continues to be inconsistent, so is the team.
Yeah, you know, I know we noted that as a pretty notable transfer at the beginning of last season, but I was like, I know you're following a coach, but if you're transferring from Washington, now granted, you're behind Michael Penix, so you're like, screw this, I'm going to go play, actually. Yeah. And I kind of get that. I don't – If you're transferring to Cal Poly, I'm questioning how good you actually were to begin with, I guess.
Right. It's almost guaranteed play time, but you can't be that much better than,
right,
you know, what's actually projected.
Right. So, you know, hopefully he takes some strides moving forward, but I get kind of another uninteresting team for the week, I guess. I don't think they're going to be in the top half of the Big Sky next year. I really don't.
I mean, when it comes to the recruiting aspect, I feel like they shouldn't struggle recruiting either, being, you know, in San Luis Obispo. I mean, it's a great place to be, just to hang out, but they're not competing against a ton of teams between Stanford, San Jose, Cal, Sac State. I mean, that's really their only big recruiting schools that they have to worry about.
And the kids that are good enough to go to those schools probably do, and the kids that are better than those schools definitely leave.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I feel like you're probably really fighting over some Division II NAIA talent that ends up coming to a Big Sky program. Maybe I'm way off base on that, but...
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, I feel like there's also not a small amount of recruits in that area anyways.
Oh, for sure. No, I don't think there's any lack of talent, but when you're going freaking, 3-9 or whatever it was, it's tough to make that sell unless you just sell playing time, I guess.
Yeah, playing time in a super awesome location to go to school.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, I feel like I've seen their stadium on TV or whatever, and it's kind of a neat little stadium, unless I'm thinking of UC Davis. But if I remember correctly,
I mean, both locations are pretty cool. I mean, fairly close to the beach, the town, just being in SLO, as the locals call it. It's kind of just a cool place to be. I don't know. I like it.
Well, no reason they can't be good. Hopefully they, like you said, maybe they could, I don't know if they'll double their win total, but that would be a heck of a turnaround. So, and if I'm not mistaken, was it them or UC Davis that was on a first year head coach? It was Cal Poly this last year was on a first year head coach.
Yep. So, I mean, maybe he starts to really get that culture and he's getting his own recruits in now. So, right. I mean, there's definitely an upturn coming. If they do increase their win total by one total, maybe two overall, depending on their non-conference schedule, I mean, I think that's moving in the right direction. You can't ask for them to go, 5-5 this next year, 6-5. I feel like that's a big jump.
For sure. But in years 2 and 3, that's kind of where I'm looking to see.
For sure.
And maybe that's not exactly in the win total, but it definitely can be seen hopefully in the play that takes place. So, I'm kind of excited now that I remembered that there'll be a second year there. So that's kind of we'll be keeping an eye on Cal Poly. That'll be interesting to see. But we will move over to the Mountain West Conference. We'll talk about Utah State, who in last season lost at Iowa, won at home against Idaho State, lost at Air Force, lost at home to James Madison, won at UConn, won at Colorado State, lost at Fresno, lost at San Jose. One at San Diego State in double overtime, one at Nevada, lost at Boise State, and then one at New Mexico in double overtime to finish the regular season 6-6. And then they go to the famous Idaho Potato Bowl and get trounced by Georgia State 45-22 to finish the season 6-7, which kind of, man, that grinds my gears a little bit. Because I just like it when Mountain West teams win their bowl games. But 2024, they are at home against Robert Morris, at USC, at home against Utah, and then at Temple. So not a super easy slate there. Obviously, Robert Morris being an FCS program, and then at USC and at home against Utah, and then at Temple. Tough to say what Temple's going to look like next year, but... Then at Boise State, at Colorado State, at home against Hawaii, New Mexico, San Diego State, UNLV, a stretch of 4 home games there. And then at Wyoming and at Washington State to finish the year out. And I am seeing 6-6 being a struggle bus next year.
Yeah, same. I mean, in their non-conference schedule, best case 2-2. In conference, I mean, I was just kind of keeping track of that schedule, and there's not many games I feel like they're going to win.
I mean, Colorado State, Hawaii, New Mexico, San Diego State. There's your
dude. With Hawaii's playing right now, I think Hawaii's going to beat them. Seriously,
I think so, and I think Colorado State makes a big step forward next year as well. So definitely. I think 6-6 is a tall order in Logan, yeah. Utah next fall.
Oh, for sure. And not to not to crap on their season this last year, going 6-7. I mean, it's commemorable because you make it to a bowl game. Unfortunately, it ends in a loss. But also, they had two huge injuries at quarterback this last year. Yeah. Legas was a 2 or 3 year starter, and then their backup, and they were finally on their third string quarterback the last 2 or 3 games. So yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do. I mean, I had huge hopes for them at the beginning of the season. Whenever they beat Idaho State 78-28. Granted, it is Idaho State, but, you know, whenever you see a team put up that many points, you think something more is going to come of it, but, you know, obviously not as much so.
Yeah, I mean, and Idaho State wasn't exactly a phenomenal Big Sky team either, so it's like I kind of just expect you to do that. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know, and I hate it when Mountain West teams don't win the bowl games, especially the ones that are right down the road. Seriously, win the Potato Bowl. The MAC has to travel to Idaho. It's a home game for the Mountain West. Win the daggum bowl game. Seriously, stop it. Like, I don't know the last time. I mean, I know the MAC has won a handful of times in the last few years, but it hasn't been many. The Mountain West usually wins that bowl game. And especially it's against the MAC. Like, stop losing. Gosh, man, that just – I was thinking about this the other day. I was randomly thinking to myself, because I'm going to share something with you that just really – I want a segment of the show, but it has to be an appropriate title for the segment. I would say, like in Family Guy, there's those times where Peter's like, you know what really grinds my gears? So, like, it can't be what grinds my gears, because that's taken. And it can't be what chaps my backside. Maybe I could just say what chaps my backside. That's family appropriate, I guess. But anyways, like – somebody said something the other day that like really bugged me, and I was like, we should have a segment of the show that's like, you know what really grinds my gears, but I don't want to copy Family Guy either, but I don't want to curse because there's only two other ways to say it, and they both involve curse words. I don't know how to say it, but you know what really chaps my behind, I guess. I don't know. Like,
chaps your khakis.
Dude, that's exactly what we're gonna call it. What, you know what chaps my khakis? Yeah. That's going to be a new segment on the show every week. And I've got our first one right here.
And then you can tell the kids in the room to, you know, earmuffs.
Well, I won't say the real thing. They can listen to chap my khakis. That's fine. Well, that's kid appropriate. Yeah. So
it's like the safe word. It's like, oh, you want to chaps my khakis? Chaps my khakis. All right, everybody earmuffs.
So in the first episode of you know what chaps my khakis? When people, because somebody did this to me the other day, when people say that they threw their back out, that's not a thing. That's not a thing that you did. It's not an injury. Like, you know what I'm saying? If someone was like, oh, I slipped my disc, I'd be like, oh man, you got to get it taken care of. But when someone's like, I threw my back out, I'm like, you're just being soft and don't want to do whatever it is we have to do right now.
Yeah, like whenever I threw my back out, I feel like that's the wrong motion that you were supposed to be doing. Like, I threw my back out. Oh, yeah, you definitely deadlifted with an arched back.
Yeah, you lifted with your back in a jerking, twisting motion or something like that. I don't know. But like, it just drives me crazy when people say that. Like, just say you pulled a muscle or you slipped a disc or you like I say something accurate that actually happened. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. That just like when people say that.
I didn't stretch before I did physical activity.
Right. People are like, oh, I threw my back out. And I'm like, you did nothing of the sort. That's not a real thing. Tell me what happened instead of just saying your back hurts. Like, just say your back hurts. Like, I don't, why are you saying something that's not a thing? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but God, it bugs me when people say that. I'm like, that's not a thing. And you're being soft. I'm very sorry to say it. But like, now I wouldn't say that if you were like, oh yeah, you know, like I have an injury that you can describe to me. I'm like, oh, that sounds like it hurts, man. You should let me do that. Relax. Get off your feet, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, take a load off.
Right, right. But that being said, this week at Blue Creek Outdoors, it is Valentine's Day on Wednesday. You got any Valentine's Day plans? Or are you working over the holiday?
I am working over this holiday.
Oh, man.
So unfortunately enough, wait, hold on. Wait, Wednesday, the 14th?
Wednesday's
I am meeting up with my girl on Friday, so that's we'll probably celebrate it then.
There you go. There you go. I've got a, you know, not a
discounted candy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. When you, not that I've been married a long time, but almost 7 years, it's like Valentine's Day is like, we don't make a big deal out of it, but, you know, we'll go try a new restaurant and then we'll, it's like, it's more for us. It's one of those things where you get like a silly gift or something that's just like makes the other person laugh, you know, and you go out to dinner and you do flowers.
Oh yeah. No, I think something like that where you like, you acknowledge like an inside joke that you might have. I know, we'll probably take a walk on the beach here. Cause it's kind of romantic yet like a hopeless romantic that it's kind of funny.
There you go.
I think that stuff is kind of cool.
Is the weather on the beach going to be nice on a February day?
No, it'll probably be windy and rainy. And so we'll look out at the beach and then walk back into a restaurant or something.
There you go.
Probably go to Moe's. It's the, like one of the local seafood places around here.
Ah, there you go. Well, Valentine's Day is on Wednesday. On Thursday, the 15th of the month, is going to be the tips and tactics video for this month. It is going to be field judging Cape Buffalo with Carlo Kleinens from Mel Kleinens Safaris. Kind of a cool little video. I think it's like 2 minutes long. Just goes through what he's looking for when he's field judging a bull Cape Buffalo, trying to figure out if it's a good bull that he wants to take or whatnot. But the pin that we put in the other thing we were talking about, and then right now, I've got two new videos ideas that we're gonna work forward moving with, and I want to let people know, and I want to hear what you think about them.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm definitely down for that.
So starting, I know the first in video March,
was super awesome, so I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so starting in March, come hell or high water, I'm gonna spend at least 2 days fly fishing. We'll try to coordinate dates. Great. If not, I'm gonna let Dylan Johnston, Ryle, our other buddy, and that's made some fishing videos with us, let them know what I'm thinking. If people can come, great. If not, whatever. And I'm gonna fly fish, period. And I'm gonna look terrible.
Yeah, there we go. I love it.
I'm gonna look so bad, dude. And I'm gonna say what we said when we like very first started making videos. Regardless of what happens, I'm making a YouTube video, and it's not going to be good. I'll tell you that much. It's not going to be good.
Dude, but I like it. I'm down for it. I found a screaming deal on a Reddington rod and reel.
There you go.
And so I had no choice but to pull the trigger, pun intended.
I got on Amazon, and I typed in John Boat Accessories because I just have a little aluminum boat. And, you know, some of them are frivolous and not needed. Some of them that will help the integrity of the boat and the accessibility of fishing from the boat, that I am a 1,000,000%. I'm going to like, for less than $500, I'm going to get this boat to in a position where we could do some serious fishing out of it. And I'm extremely excited. Like I can't tell you how excited I am about fishing from that boat. But it's going to take
some work. You should like set up a GoPro and do like a time-lapse kind of thing. And we'll just make a full episode out of it. Like right. The restoration of a boat, and then it'll end with us like fishing on it.
Right. I think yes, because it's a good enough boat. Like I would fish here in Polson Bay in that boat. I wouldn't take it out in big water with it, but I would fish here in the bay in that boat. And I would, you know, I'm just like, I'm seriously super pumped, and I think it's going to be awesome. But I know for a fact that I'm going to learn how to fish with some guidance and ideas from other people, but hopefully do a lot of it on my own, because I'm not like the dude that can go find fish and catch fish, you know? So I'm kind of excited to hopefully get to that point. So that's going to be every single month. I'm going to spend at least 2 days fishing, period. Like that is one of my goals for the rest of the year.
Dude, I like it. And honestly, like, of all the forums and articles that I've read, is like outside of technique, because obviously that comes with practice. The next hardest part is just finding, you know, good little holes for you to fish in and practice in. A lot of people recommend going to local fly shops and talent, like being straight up, yo, like, I'm new at this. What kind of tips and hints do you have, classes or like some guaranteed holes I can go to at least, you know, rip some lips and get used to it. And, you know, something that could be familiar to better the skills. So I'm definitely excited for when this thing comes in, cause I'm just going to be in the backyard, you know, moving my arm 10 and two, baby.
10 and two, 10 and two, getting that wrist, you know, keeping that wrist straight, you know? But the other idea that I have is this. I was just kind of messing around on YouTube because I creep on other channels and see what they're up to. And I find some of these channels that they test all the bullets in the ballistics gel, which most of them are testing. And they're super cool. I actually really enjoy watching those. But I immediately had an idea in my mind of a little bit different way to go about doing that, to test specifically to test hunting bullets. So I think as part of a research type deal for myself, more than anything, because I probably would just do this on my own, regardless of having a YouTube channel. I think once a month I'm going to test a different round in ballistics gel and see what we get out of it as far as results. And then, you know, compare and contrast different rounds out of different calibers and things like that to see, see how the different rounds perform and do things. I'm actually very excited about it. It's not gelatin. The ballistics gel is a little expensive. It's like $100 for a 10% block that's 16 inches long, but you can use it. You can buy it with the kit that you remelt it and it reforms, and you can use it like up to 10 times. And then the color starts to go out of it. It goes from clear to like yellow. So I probably wouldn't keep that in a video, but, I'm going to test out some hunting grounds and make little videos out of it. And I'm just going to kick one of those out a month, I think.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, because that's one thing I've slowly been working on, you know, reading manuals is getting more into reloading and whatnot. So I got my workbench and the manuals, and I got a couple of different calibers I'm going to start working on. So, I mean, we could definitely just collab all of them.
Yeah, because I don't care about reloading, but I do. I mean, it'd be awesome to see what you can kind of concoct and come up with. But here's the deal. In the last 2 years, this is kind of why I wanted to do it. Everybody swears by their certain bullets or whatever, right? And obviously, every caliber has certain bullets that run the best out of it. And then every rifle itself has certain bullets that certain rounds that go through it the best. But I will say this. In the last 2 years, I have filmed animals getting killed with the new ELDX that everyone has such a freaking, you know, hot.
Dude, every ballistics article I read has the Hornady ELDX bullet listed as like their control element. And it's like, right. I mean, I hear good things. Like, obviously, there's good things about it, but yeah. It would be kind of cool, like, seeing the compare and contrast between that and, you know, like Nosler's Partition or Nosler's Accubond and, you know, all these other rounds.
I filmed a lot of stuff die with expensive bullets. The Accubonds, the Partitions, the ELDX, the Terminal Ascent. But guess what? I have also filmed many things get killed with a Remington Core Locked. And they died.
Same. Yes.
The only thing at this point in time that I'm a little bit willing to, I guess acknowledge is that if I was going to, if I knew I was going to take a shot of 500 yards plus, I probably would not be floating a core locked downrange. However, I don't shoot 500 yards.
Not. I'm questionable really, past 100.
I don't really ever plan on shooting much past 500 yards, but I have a stack of core locks in my ammo room, because when I'm feeling, you know, like I just want to throw a box of bullets into the stockpile, they're $20 and I buy a box of them and I throw them in there. I never shoot them. I don't shoot core locks personally. But I have a whole bunch of them.
I mean, honestly, like they're great range bullet, at least in my experience, because that's all I used to shoot until I ran across the Nosler partitions. Like I'm gonna be shooting the Accubonds when we go down to Arizona, but like to sight in my rifle, I've been using the Winchester like target field bullets.
Yeah. I get my gun on paper sometimes with Accubonds, but or I'm sorry, with the Core-Loks, but then when it comes time to like get it dialed, then I shoot the bullet that I'm going to shoot when I'm hunting. But I don't know if you've noticed this about any of your rifles. My 270, once I shoot many more than like 6 to 10 rounds, it kind of seems like depending on the day, if my barrel gets heated up at all, it starts to throw bullets around. So when I take it to the
Yeah,
range,
same.
I'm shooting like probably maybe 5 times, and then I'm sitting for quite a while. Like I'll take multiple firearms to the range or wherever I'm shooting. I'll shoot that one. I'll get it to where I want, and then I'll let it sit for a little while, and I pray it's cold outside to cool it down a little quicker. But I like to dial in with the bullet that I am shooting, which currently I shoot the Accubonds, but that's out of my 270. And then if I don't have any Accubonds, I shoot a Nosler partition because it seems to be pretty much right where I've never like had a partition hit somewhere that I was like, whoa, like that's not where I was aiming. I've never had that happen. In the two in the for the Javelina though, I'm gonna shoot the I last year I was using 223 with the 55 grain Nosler ballistic tip. This year I ordered the 55 grain expansion tip, but I don't think I'm gonna use that. It seems like it's a little bit more robust than the ballistic tip is itself, and it's the lead-free bullet that they have, which I think is a little bit more designed for deer. But I like that Nosler ballistic tip because that javelina that I killed last year was literally what 30 yards, and that bullet did not go through it.
Yeah, not very far.
And
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, like that was, I mean, it was, it almost seemed like it was planned out, like you wanted to use that round for that range. Like it was applicable.
yeah. I've
Like this year
been.
I'm probably going a little bit heavy, but I mean, I anticipate probably 100, 150 yard shot. So I want to make sure that I'm going to be, you know, putting it where I want it to be.
Right. And I like the ballistic tip for the Javelina, especially because it's like it's not gonna go out the Javelina. Like at no and now that I did it at 30 yards, I think that even at 200, especially at 200 yards, it's not gonna come out the other side. All of that bullet energy is going into that animal. But I'm excited to see what your Accubond does too, because this is what I've seen from Accubonds. I've seen good penetration on burlier animals, but I've also seen good expansion, like on because I shot a deer in the neck like 2 years ago, and it was like a yearling spike buck. I just wanted to fill a tag, and the exit hole out of this buck's neck on the other side was stupid, and I shot him at like, it was like 235 yards or something like that. And I shot him in the neck. He dropped instantly. And I walked up, and the amount of blood everywhere was just insane. And the exit hole at the other side was just nuts. And I was like, man, that bullet expanded a lot in not very much space. Like, I mean, heck, it wasn't. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe
I wonder if a lot of it
distribution.
comes from like hitting like a denser area, like bone, where you're going to get all of that expansion and soft tissue
Yeah.
versus you're not going to get as much expansion, like if it's entering, you know, through a shoulder blade or,
Yeah.
you know, through the spine or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited actually to see what your 243 does on it. You'll have a little bit more reach out there than I will. I mean,
Yeah.
granted, I'd shoot my 223 400 yards, probably not on a javelina, but I have drilled stuff at 400 with this, just like setting targets up and doing dumb stuff in the mountains with it. But 243, I think that's a good javelina round. I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. It's gonna be my first hunting trip with it, so I'm pretty excited. It's gonna be a good break-in.
That being said, as well, that's going to be Aiden's first out-of-state hunting trip, and I think we're going to
Ooh
wall
wee.
tent. We're gonna. My dad's got a wall tent with a stove and everything. We're gonna grab from him, and I'm gonna talk to John in the morning. We're gonna have a phone call tomorrow morning. I'm really hoping. I don't know for sure yet, but I'm guessing that our glassing knobs are not going to be a like a half a day hike to get into, you know. So, I want to take Aiden. But I also don't want to sacrifice Bree at the expense of it either. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm excited because I want him to get out there and get with us and, you know, spend some time out there and get used to it, even though he's obviously only one, but I want him to be out and about, yeah. It, like, not a big deal moving forward, you know? So, it's one of those things where I'm a little nervous for it, but I'm also like looking forward to it. So it'll be fun. I'm excited.
I mean, he travels pretty well overall. So, I mean, I think he would enjoy it, you know, depending on what kind of day he wants to have.
Yeah, the biggest thing is going to be the drives down there. That's the only thing I'm worried about. And I want to see, Bree's not a big fan of driving overnight, but I'm a giant fan of driving overnight, especially with Aiden. So I'm trying to convince her of, like, maybe we pull a couple of all-nighters on the road. She can sleep if she can, but just get down there. We'll be around Tombstone, I think. Yeah. that is a trek and a half from Polson, Montana. So,
yep. I'm in Northwest Oregon, so that's gonna be a bruiser.
Yeah, it's gonna be the opposite of a good time. However, we looked at flying her and him down there, but that was expensive. It's not worth it. So I think we're gonna roll with it and see what happens. So
I think it'll be a great trip. Family bonding time.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very excited. I think it's gonna be super fun. I have no reason to believe he will not be easy to deal with down there. It's just one of those things where you're just like, you hope he is. You hope the monster hasn't decided to come out now. And you're like, where have you been for the last year and a half?
Yeah. Nah, it'll be good. It'll be a learning experience if anything.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I just hope if we get two javelinas killed, I'll be happy. If we get four killed, I'll be ecstatic. That's what I'm,
Absolutely elated.
Yeah. So that being said, we'll kind of get wrapped up here on the show a little bit here. The verse for the week, I'm going to have to pinpoint it here really quick. I've been kind of thinking a little bit about, kind of some context of things. This isn't really having to do with me specifically, but, obviously there's times in life when, like, you know, maybe somebody kind of does you wrong or, you know, does something that isn't the greatest to you. And that's tough. But I was reading for last week's episode of, we finished Genesis in last week's Bible study. So this week we'll be moving into Exodus. But one thing that really stuck out to me, and it was Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And I just want to, just as some backstory here, Joseph, right? His brothers sold him into slavery to get rid of him because they were jealous of him. They sent him away to Egypt. But then later on there in Egypt, he meets them, exposes himself to them. They all live hunky dory, whatever, you know. And then when their dad, Jacob, dies, his brothers are kind of nervous that Joseph's now going to take revenge on him. This is years and years and years later, but they're worried that he's going to take revenge on him. And Joseph says to them, I'll just start in verse 19 here. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And that the whole picture is kind of whatever, you know, obviously we're not going to go into the entire picture. But what I just stuck out to me there, verse 20, what you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. So them selling Joseph away and telling their father that he was killed by a wild animal, like, obviously they were being terrible human beings and selling their brother into slavery. But then obviously that was used. And Joseph became one of the most powerful people in all of Egypt, because of those events. So, it just kind of like was a weird thing to me to think about. I started thinking about it. I was like, what if, you know, every time you got screwed, every time somebody does something to you that isn't cool or whatever, I'm not saying be weak and let people walk all over you. But what I am saying is, if there's ever a time you get screwed or somebody really does you the wrong way or does you dirty or something, you know, maybe the best thing is to defend yourself, but also think about in the context of what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So I don't know why, but I just thought about that a lot this last week after I had read that and we finished up Genesis last week. I just like literally couldn't stop thinking about that. If my brother sold me into slavery, like I think I'd be a little sour. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'd be super salty about it. And, but I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like the age old tale, you know, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldier. And it's the sole reason, because like everybody's going to learn something from it. It's going to make you a better person as long as, you know, it's not vengeful.
Right. And the trial that you're facing might have been planned by God, but it had to be facilitated by somebody else. Like somebody had to come be a tool to you to present the challenge that you're now facing. Like you wouldn't go through this challenge if somebody hadn't been a giant jerk. And I'm not saying that's the case all the time, but that is the case sometimes. So, I don't know. That just like really struck me funny the entire week. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I don't know if there's one person out there that's like, that's exactly what I needed to hear right now. I don't know if that's why this has just been festering in my brain all week, but maybe somebody out there is just getting the shaft on something and maybe there's nothing you can do about it. Who knows? But what somebody else means for evil.
Well, this is their time to shine. Is right. What it is.
Right. This is whatever they meant for evil, God meant for good. So just try and, I know it's hard to remember that, especially when you're super angry and vengeful, and I get that, but yeah, I don't know why, man. That just like, man, that just floated in my brain all week long. So that was just kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I love how like a lot of this stuff connects, and it gets you thinking about not only the future, but you know, the ifs, ands, buts, maybes. I mean, you don't really know, but the one thing you should know, or you know, you should have faith in, is that it's all for a reason. It's all for good reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll cut it a little bit short tonight. And man, we'll be good next week. We're good to go next week. But then shortly after we do next week's episode, we'll be seeing each other down in Southern Arizona. So I'm really excited.
Dude, I'm so stoked.
Yeah. Well, appreciate everybody listening. Don't forget to, you know, give us a follow, like the podcast. If you listen to it all the way through, we really appreciate it. Download it if you can on whatever platform you are on. I'm working my butt off to get us on Apple Podcasts, but it's giving me the absolute fits. It's driving me banana sandwich, but really appreciate everybody. And I can't wait to be doing an episode down in Southern Arizona while we're hunting.
Dude, same. It's going to be our first live episode ever. So definitely stay tuned. We'll release the time as we get closer of when we're going to do it. Probably going to be doing it from a hotel lobby or a hotel room. So don't mind the terrible wallpaper, but we're excited to see everybody, answer any questions, and get everybody in tune. This is going to be exciting. Don't forget about memberships. Memberships are live. So we have different tiers, but the most basic one is $2.99. Yep. It gets you access to our giveaways, our raffles. We're going to be doing a giveaway on each one of our live episodes. So our first one is going to be when we're down in Arizona. So pretty excited about that one. Make sure you're on there.
Absolutely. Well,
if you're the only one, then congratulations. You are one of one.
Yeah, exactly. That might be the case. Appreciate everybody. Have a great Valentine's Day, and we will catch you next week.
We'll see you guys later. Thank you for tuning in.